Introduction. Why water, bread and wine? Let me invite you to try three thought experiments with me. Thought experiment one. Imagine your church stopped celebrating communion. Nothing is announced, it just stops happening. Everything else goes on as before. You gather each Sunday to sing God's praises and hear his word. You meet midweek to study the Bible and pray together. You get involved in evangelistic initiatives and serve your local community. But communion doesn't happen. How long do you think it would be before you noticed? What difference would it make to your life together as a church? Would you miss it? All good experiments have a control sample, and this one is no exception. As a control, imagine what would happen if your church stopped singing. Again, no announcement is made. But next Sunday there's no music group or organist. There are no hymn numbers or songs on the screen. The Bible is read, prayers are offered, a sermon is preached. But there's no music. Same questions. How long do you think it would be before you noticed? What difference would it make to your life? To your life together as a church. Would you miss it? Here's my hunch. In the no singing scenario, there would be an uproar after the very first meeting. A group of people would surround the leaders, demanding to know what was going on. People would be pointing in open Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Veiled threats would be made. But what about the no communion scenario? I fear that many Christians could skip communion without missing very much, and perhaps without even noticing for some time. Thought experiment 2. Our second thought experiment takes the form of a question. When did you last point someone to his or her baptism? Let's assume you're involved in discipling and pastoring other people in your church. Perhaps you read the Bible regularly with someone. Perhaps you're part of a prayer partnership. Perhaps you're a youth group leader. In these kinds of contexts, how often do you point people to their baptism? I ask the question because it's something Paul does often in his letters. Check out 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 14, Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, and Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, if you don't believe me. Peter does the same thing in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. For the apostles, baptism was not simply an event that took place back in the day. For them, it shaped the whole Christian life. Christians were baptized people living a baptized life. So why don't we live like this? Lewis Allen writes, "Where did we go wrong, that we preachers have so undervalued the Lord's Supper and baptism? A glance around evangelical churches shows that the sacraments are the church's Cinderellas, tolerated, patronized, and even put to work, but little loved and even less gloried in. We love to celebrate a baptism and share the joy of grace in a person's life. But do we teach the saints to live in the light of their baptism?"